Our first reading this evening is Isaiah 25. We begin in the sixth verse. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in this salvation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this evening is an old favorite, the 23rd psalm, and we'll read it responsively. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not be in want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He lays me beside still waters.
He reviveth my soul.
He guides me along right pathways for his name's sake.
And yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil.
For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You spreadest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Our New Testament reading, the epistle, is Philippians 4. We begin in the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your request, let them be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. And now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise.
Hallelujah, for to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Again, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off. One to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all for whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guest, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, grace and mercy and peace be with each of you from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. My sermon title for this evening is Soul Restoration. Soul Restoration. Now, in the Army, I served for 24 years, and every year we always had to go and have a physical, right? Normal process, you have to have a physical because you have to be physically fit to be in the military. Well, when you turn 50, they change some stuff on you. And what they change is that you have to have an EKG. So you got to be there a little bit earlier, and they hook up all these probes, and they do an EKG, and they want to determine how your heart's doing, right? Oh, by the way, since I'm in the Army and he's in the Air Force, we say, "Hua." Can you say "Hua"? What does the Air Force say? I thought they said Hilton. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway, sorry about that. I just had to get a little zinger in there for my Air Force buddy. But I had my EKG done, and the young gal that came back to me, she goes, I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "I'm going to have to do it again." So she removed the probes, put them back on, did another EKG. She came back in. She goes, I don't know about you, but I don't like that answer. She said, "Well, I tell you what, go and get the rest of your physical done, come back into the room, and we'll do another EKG. And so I did. This time, the main doctor was there. And so that young gal and the doctor came up to me and they went, "You need to go see your physician." Well, the next day, I showed up at work, you know, Army strong. And the doctor came up to me and said, "What are you doing at work?" I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You know, your EKG came out that you're a dead man walking." I went, "What?" So I quickly got on the phone, got a hold of my physician, got it in there right away. They did the treadmill, did all the stuff. And when my EKG came out, the doctor said, "You know, I'm trained to look at all these little blips. I'm looking for healthy hearts. But I also look for if there's something unhealthy or if there's something damaged. And then I try to figure out how I can help you, you know, kind of get back to the original." Well, this time, after the EKG was done, he said, "Well, you know what? You're good for another 50 years. Whew. Right? So I got to be thinking, what if we had a spiritual EKG machine? You know, people would just come to church, we'd hook you up, and we would see what your spirituality is like. Are you good? Or do you need some repair? Now, in the army, just before I was to retire, there was this lady by the name of Lisa Miller. She's a PhD. And she really wanted to center on spirituality and soul and what religion, does it make a difference? And so what she did, she got a series of people and she put them into a CAT scan. She would ask them questions about how they dealt with faith issues all through their life. And what she determined through all of her testing is that you actually ingrain in your head some wonderful things by the more spiritual you become throughout your life. In other words, the people that had a darker color were able to handle more things than those that didn't. I thought that was rather interesting. You know, the Holy Spirit, as we know when we went through catechism, and you guys are in catechism, right? Yeah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is the one that tells us kind of where our spirituality is, where our heart is. It says in the third article of the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. He has enlightened me in the one true faith. In the same way he calls and he gathers and he enlightens and he sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and preserves it in the unity of Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And then at the very end, it goes, this is most certainly true. In other words, the Holy Spirit calls us, gathers us, and enlightens us. What's your spirituality like? Where's your soul at? It's been my experience that Holy Spirit informs us all the way through our journeys of life. And I can just say for myself, sometimes I've made some really good choices, and sometimes I've made some really bad choices. Some choices I made were known, and some were unknown. And sometimes when I thought, well, I'm not going to make a decision on this, well, it's a decision, right? And I found myself going like, my soul needs restoring. You know, I'm not sleeping very well. I get fatigued when I hang around people that usually just lift me up. It affects my whole being. I've discovered what I need is I need continual soul restoration all through life. You know, we've all seen those cups, right? Are you, my cup is half full or is it half empty, right? I go, in the faith world, we just need that constant water being poured in to fill us up. Because guess what? The world is out there to destroy us, to dry us up. And it's not something that you can go and have a one-lifetime experience. It's not like I go and I have this experience and I'm good for another 50 years. Is something that I constantly need to be filled up. You know, our world is extremely destructive to our souls. And I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say this, but you've been watching the news. My heart just goes out. What's happening in Israel? It's just terrible. In other words, what happens is we have to be on guard all the time. You see, the soul that is in each of us is the very essence of who we are. And yet you and I are in continual need to have some soul restoration, so to speak. You and I know exactly what an unhealthy soul is. We've seen it, maybe in our own lives and in others. Sometimes maybe we've been so frustrated that we make the comment, we go, you know, I just don't know. I need some relief. I need some help. The mistake that I've made when I've said those things is I usually try to handle it myself. And you know where that ends up? No help at all. I really need the Almighty to intervene and to fill me up. And if we let it go too long, what happens is we can kind of lose the purpose of our lives. What is the purpose of our life? We all have a purpose. As we go through life, we face different seasons of life. We've all been through those seasons of life, right? The fall, spring, summer, winter. I think of the ministries that we do in our congregation. One is called Grief Share, and I just launched a new one called Divorce Care, and it's awesome because these people are coming and they are really hurting, and it's just amazing how God just fills them up and encourages them, gets them back on their feet again. Tonight we read Psalm 23. Psalm 23, David, he understood that he needed soul restoration. He could have had anything in the world, and many times when he did have everything in the world, he didn't do very well. But what he realized is that he needed God. And that's why he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." In other words, God is there to give me everything that I truly need. I think it's interesting that David, of all animals, picked, you know, sheep, right? We know sheep, they kind of get lost, they do their own thing. But when you really think about it and you're really honest with it, we tend to want to wander off, get lost, try to do things our own way. It's interesting that in that same psalm, that phrase, he leadeth me beside still waters, it really says in the Hebrew, he leads me beside the waters of rest. Too often our souls need rest from all the stuff that's happening out beyond these doors. Too often I need a good shepherd to lead me down the to those green pastures that I just don't see anymore, to the waters, again, that give me rest. Yes, I need that continual soul restoration all through my life. And if we don't, we're just kidding ourselves that we think we can attend to our own souls. When I was in high school, I had a friend by the name of Gary. Gary bought a car to work on in high school, right? I wanted a car. We all got cars. Gary bought a 1968 Cutlass convertible. Red. Woo! It was in rough shape when we first got it, but I got to help him. And as we were going through it, he taught me some lessons. He said, "You know, I only buy original parts. Because sometimes when I bought those imitation parts, the color doesn't match, it doesn't fit." He said, "You know, you really need to know who you're buying the product from." Now, I know that there's many people who don't go to the right sources when it comes to soul restoration. I hear comments like, "Well, Pastor, religions are all the same." I go, "No, they're not." I think as Lutherans, we don't really realize the richness of our faith. The richness of our faith. I think of all the cults that are out there. I think in my tenure as a pastor, I always feel bad when I've had people that have been in my church and then they've gone off to college or they've gone off to some place and then they get hooked up into some kind of Jehovah Witnesses or whatever. And I go, "What went wrong?" You see, they had a void in their life and they tried to fill it with something that wasn't real. It was an imitation. The only one that can do this is Almighty God. He's the only one that can restore souls. I think a lot of times in America, we're looking for love, and we're looking for love in all the wrong places. But it's only the Almighty God. He is the only one that can restore us to what He intended us to be. The first soul restoring application that I practice is every single morning I read God's Word. God speaks to me. And there's lots of ways to do that, right? You can do devotions, or you can read the entire Bible through the year. But that's how I get restored every single morning. I always get reset. The second thing that I do personally is I look for individuals who are in a difficult place in their life. And I go out and I want to serve them. I want to be the hands and the feet of Christ. And obviously, when you do that, what's always interesting is you always come away more ministered to than your intentions, right? That's how God works. Thirdly, the next thing I do to restore my soul is corporate worship and communion. I got to be with other brothers and sisters in Christ, right? You fill me up as God fills all of us up. One of the things I want to ask each of you to do, and this has always been my philosophy in ministry, but we are to make disciples of all nations, right? So we want to encourage them to worship weekly, pray daily, be involved in a Bible study or read scripture, serve at and beyond your congregation, give up your time, talents, and treasures, and always be out there to welcome the stranger, right? I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know you guys get this. But what I need you to do is there's a lot of hurting people out there. And we need to invite them, right? Invite them to the wedding feast that will have no end. Let God do the work. Let us be the hands and feet of Christ. And as we are, we will restore our souls. Let us bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are aware that we're in need. We're in need of having our souls restored like the psalmist David. Help us to see you as that wonderful shepherd that leads us to that place of rest where we can be restored, renewed, created to be the people that we are called to be. Lord, help us to continue to seek for our souls to be restored. Amen. And then we'll join our voices as we sing Children of the Heavenly Father. And together, let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
O shepherding God, grant that we would hear your voice and follow you, trusting in your protection and leading in our lives. Give us the ability to discern your voice amidst all the other voices in the world that seek to lure us away from you and your flock. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of life, we ask for your care and watchful eyes on those who are our first responders. Give them the ability to think quickly and act adeptly as they rescue those in danger. Protect them from harm as they serve those in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our ever-present help, our rock and our salvation, we pray that you deepen our faith in your promise of salvation. May your grace have free reign among us that we might be emboldened to witness to your saving grace in our homes, our communities, and in all nations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, you are our shield and our strength. We pray that you would be our protector in all the uncertainty and tragedy of life. Pour out your healing upon all who are sick and suffering, especially those that we name now, silently in our hearts or aloud before you.
Dale.
Lord God, we pray that you keep us mindful that no evil can win the day, for the cross of your dear Savior Jesus Christ is our refuge. He is our kingdom. He is our strength forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.